What do an amazing artist, a star football player, and a tech genius all have in common? Two words: dedication and practice. They figured out what it takes to develop their passion. Today, we're going to learn the kind of dedication and practices Jesus taught his first disciples to make room for God in their life. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip continues our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. Just like anyone who excels at their passion, it's the heart of God for His children to excel in their passion for Him. The question is, how do we do that? And that's what Chip answers today. He's talking about the spiritual practices that keep us in close connection with the Lord. So let's join him for part two of his message, The Practice of Sacred Rhythms.
The Spirit of God can live in your life, but the Word is the fuel. And the fuel gets transmitted by a trusting moment of faith that responds in obedience. And as you take the step, you get power to live the life that He's called you to. Therese and I, over the years, have done certainly our share of counseling, and I always like to just be down front and talk to people. So what's God doing? And, you know, people have really, really, really big problems sometimes. I mean, we've had our really big problems, too, so okay. But I saw this parallel. People would come down, and I mean, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and where's God? And so I listen and pray, and then I'll say, could you tell me just something? Tell me a little bit about, are you like in the Bible on a regular basis? Well, no. Well, do you read it at all? No. So you come to church kind of now and then, your problems are astronomical, and you really want God's help, and you've been crying for the last 5 minutes and telling me how, where is God? Here's an observation after 40 years of ministry. Very, very big problems correlate with zero to little time in God's Word. Much time in God's Word doesn't mean you don't have problems. It means you have power and perspective. And the Jesus that you sang about, that you said, He's for me, He's with me, He manifests His presence and His power because He's speaking to you through His Word. One of the reasons I keep a journal is because it's so easy to have an emotional experience with God. I read, I kind of felt the Holy Spirit. He said, I need to apologize to Teresa because of what I said last night. And I really raised my voice and I really hurt her feelings. And, oh, I feel good. And I just forgot one little thing. I haven't apologized to her yet. The next time I open the Bible, and it's not quite as vivid. And then as I'm praying and I sit quietly, have you apologized to Teresa yet? Well, we'll do that later, but it's 80% her fault, only 20% my fault. I want to make sure she has a chance, Lord, you know? Here's what I tell you. There's times when I felt very spiritually dry. You want a great rhythm of life? Every single day, I spend time in God's Word. And every single day, I say, Lord, I have to respond. I need to take some specific step of faith today to respond to the truth. It might be I'm going to pause and thank you. It might be, you know what? This was so encouraging to me. Lord, bring someone to my mind. I'm going to text two people, but I'm going to do something every single day that when the Word of God comes in, I'm going to act on it. Because here's what I know. The longer I don't act on it, you know what you become? You become a Pharisee. You become someone who knows a lot. And then you can tell people how much you know and how much you've read and all your theology. Some of the people that know the most about God are the farthest from God. The organ of transformation is not knowledge in the Christian life. The organ of transformation is obedience. It's responding to what God shows you. So if He's been saying, stop logging on to pornography, He's going to keep saying that and saying that and saying that, and you keep doing it, pretty soon your experience of God's presence. Get out of that relationship. Forgive him or forgive her. You're going to spend the whole rest of your life being angry at your dad or your mom and what they didn't give you? Release it. And if you If you are hard-hearted and will not respond to the Spirit, what you find is God doesn't feel close. He's not doing that as, he's doing it as a kindness and a discipline. Anytime you feel like God is a little bit far away, pray this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. And then sit quietly. And if you hear like you're a terrible person and you're a jerk and, you know, that's Satan, that's condemnation. It's always vague, it's always general, makes you want to run from God. But when you sit quietly and he says something very specific about you and an attitude or something you need to address, thank you, Lord. That's your Father saying, hey, come over here. Let me put my arm around you. Let me forgive you. Let's walk together again. And as you walk in the light, he begins to experience the light with you. Second warning is the parable of the growing seed. He said, what is the kingdom of God like? A man scattered seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, we get our word automatic from this word. The soil produces first the grain, then the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Warning number one, there's no such thing as just private spirituality. Warning number two, there's no magic formula. Spiritual growth is a process. Everything in life, right? It's life. It's the life of Christ. Everything in life has a seed, and then the seed sprouts, then the plant grows, and then it matures, and it matures. It has what? Fruit. What's inside fruit? Seeds. Inside every fruit, there's seeds. In fact, go back to Genesis. God designed this from the very beginning. All of nature, he's screaming, this is how life works. And he talks about there's vegetation and seed of its own kind, and there's animals, and they multiply after their own kind. He wants you to know there's a process in birthing things in your life, and there's some growing, and then there's real growth, and then there's fruit. And guess what? It takes time. It is a journey. There's no big experience that will make it all happen, no matter how hard you try. Notice he says, he plants it day or night, whether he's sleeping or not, and how it grows, he doesn't know. Are you ready for this too? It's mysterious. The Spirit of God is uniquely interacting with your soul and your spirit, what you need to hear in a personalized way. There's not some cookie cutter formula that everyone needs to do these practices and this way at this time. He is working and cultivating and growing and birthing and maturing you. He knows your family of origin. He knows your fears. He knows your struggles. He knows your addictions. He knows all the things that are in your heart. He knows your strengths. And he is speaking in his word by his spirit and through the community of God's people as a father ushering you on this journey to make you more and more like his son. And sometimes we get very impatient. The third warning. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed in the ground, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden. Plants with such big branches that birds of the air can perch in its shade. And then he goes on to talk about many other parables. The third warning is that it starts small, but it has great impact. You know, sometimes you just feel like, I mean, I remember as a new Christian, I didn't grow up as a follower of Christ. I'm telling you, I'd pray for 3 minutes and I couldn't think of anything else to say. I remember reading a part of a paragraph and my head hurt. God's journey, it starts small. And then what happens is he not only works in you, but then he works through you. It's the smallest little seed, but then it grows. Then notice the impact. Even the birds of the air, it becomes a place of shelter to others. God must work deeply in you before he works significantly through you. And I just want you to get that because that's the context for spiritual rhythms. Spiritual rhythms are very dangerous if they become an end in themselves. if they become a journey and a process where you realize the issue is my heart, God's seed is powerful and supernatural. It will always produce the right thing. Second, you know what? It's going to take time. And so the issue isn't how much I know. It's am I responding to what I do know? And then I need to realize that God is patient with me. And it's a process. He's not shocked when you have, you know, two steps forward and three steps backwards. He's your father. He's not down on you. The enemy wants you to get discouraged. And you're thinking, gosh, you know, everyone else is so far along. I remember when I came to Christ just before I went away to college, and I'd go to a Bible study, and they would say something, and everyone turned someplace, and I'm, you know, looking at the table of contents, and it's a really thick book, you know, and, you know, and I didn't see where, you know, and I didn't want to be too, like, you know, by the time I found it, they read it, and we're moving on, and I felt like a dummy. And what I realized was, you know something? God looks at your heart. He says, I'm for you. I love you. Let's start where you are. And candidly, you know, I've been like doing this for a while. I still read some passages. Can I make an admission? You know, Lord, I've read a lot of books, but I still don't know what this passage means. Is it embarrassing to think that an infinite God who created the galaxies and the world, that somehow, some way, that we're going to understand it all? It's, you know what? Just take the passages that you do understand and respond to them and watch what happens. Well, let me get kind of practical to what are some ways, the spiritual rhythms, at least, that have helped me the most. The first one, I had a young pastor. I was speaking somewhere recently, and, you know, he'd been a pastor like 5 years. He goes, excuse me, Mr. Ingram. He really, boy, you're getting old when they call you that. And he said, I'm just a young pastor, and what advice would you give me? I really, you know, I want God to use my life. And, you know, I said, okay. And I could tell he thought there was some really big thing coming. I said, well, I'm grateful that God put some great people in my life. I'm grateful that I got to go to a good school and had to learn Hebrew and Greek and all that. And he's got, oh. I said, let me tell you what's helped me the most, more than anything else. I mean, all the education, all that, here's what's helped me the most. I had a bricklayer with a high school education model what it looked like to follow Jesus, love his wife, raise his kids. And after about 3 years around him, I didn't know if I was supposed to be a coach or a lawyer or whatever. Here's what I knew. I want to be like him. I want to be a man like him. And so I said, what I saw was he got up every day and spent time with God. It was the priority of his life. And so what I told him was, for me, at first it was duty. I didn't always feel like it. It was hard to get up. And then pretty soon it became a discipline that it was a habit in my life, and I did it. And then I remember after a few years, it became a delight. And I will tell you, Teresa and I sometimes joke. I make the coffee at night before we get up, and I'll say, hey, you know, the coffee's already made. We should go to bed early so we can get up, because then the morning comes. And I quit setting alarm probably 25 years ago. Lord, just wake me up. Now, some of you keep setting it. Don't miss work. But if you went to bed as early as me, I get plenty of sleep. And he just wakes me up, and I just can't wait to meet him. And you know what I do? I'm in his word, and then when he speaks to me, I write it down, because if it's a process, I'm so silly and not very smart and forgetful, I'll forget what he's doing. And so when I feel really uptight, you know, I'll write this, dear God, I'm very concerned about, will you please help me with, and I put a little box. And then, God, thank you so much for, you know, when I don't feel like praying, it's amazing when you start thanking him for what you do have. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then, wow, I get a big meeting today. It may not go well. Would you give me supernatural wisdom and grace when I meet with so-and-so? Because I think this will... And then, you know, the next morning I wake up and I've got these boxes. Lord, check mark. 10, 11. Man, did you work in their heart and you gave me wisdom. Line through it. Lord, give me more grace, because I didn't handle that very well, right? And near the end of every year, sometimes about every 6 months, I'll get two or three of these out, and I'll just read where I've been, and I'll see the rhythms that God has in my life and what he's doing, because don't we get just into what happened today and what about next week? And now, you don't all have to journal, but for some of us, especially if you're a verbal processor, it's very helpful. The second thing that has been super helpful for me was how do you break through what I call strongholds? You know, you have areas of your life you just simply can't break out of. And I will say what helped me more than anything else was I was introduced to memorizing scripture around the areas that I struggled. And I started writing them on these cards, and I would write, you know, like in my college days, I was convinced that you could not be free from lustful thoughts. And so I took a number of verses where the Bible talks about that, and I memorized them. And after 21 verses, word for word, in 21 days that I reviewed every day, God changed my thinking that changed my life, and I was free. Then I realized that there were areas of my life that I longed to become, but no amount of trying hard. But the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. If we had a little more time, if there's one big thing I've learned over the years, apart from spending time with God, it's being very focused, very, very focused about your intentionality in walking with God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so when I was 28 years old, I came to a point where I decided I would make, instead of just to-do lists every day, I made a to-be list. And I was overwhelmed with work, and I was a young dad, and I felt like no matter what I did, I didn't measure up. And I remember someone telling me, God will never love you any more than he loves you at this very minute. So there's nothing to prove, and there's nothing to lose. Live out of that love. And so I remember, I was on my way home, I stopped at a Dairy Queen, and I got a napkin out. Who do you want to be? I decided, I want to be a man of God. Well, what will that take? And then I wrote down on my schedule that I'd meet with God first. Who do you want to be? I want to be a great husband with a great marriage. And so I wrote on my calendar, every Friday, date with Teresa, we're going to eat as a family. Who do you want to be? I want to be a great dad. And so I wrote on my calendar when and how I'd spend time with my kids. I said, I want to be a great friend who actually stays in shape. And so I wrote on my calendar when I was going to work out and hang out with some guys. And then who do you want to be? I want to be a man that God would choose to use in a way that would be absolutely unexplainable. And so I started writing my desires down. And I wrote desires that I knew for sure were the will of God. So a desire like, I want to be habitually thankful as my unconscious response to all life's circumstances in view of the sovereignty and the goodness of God. I would just read that over. I desire to hunger and thirst for God's word, to memorize and meditate on it in order that I might know him better. I wrote down, I desire to limit my work hours weekly and preaching schedule to avoid the burnout and self-dependency it creates. I desire to stop caring about what others think and apply myself and my schedule to what will make me the best I can be to God. I want to grow free of the invisible expectations that I allow to hinder my joy, my freedom, my schedule from pursuing the best, right? I'm a people pleaser. And then I went through and I said, you know, desire for my marriage. I desire to love Teresa sacrificially in a way every day that makes sense to her. Now, she will tell you I have not done that. And all I did is I would read these. And what I found was as I read them, my mind was renewed. And I would find myself, this is weird. I want to take out the trash and she hasn't told me. Where is this coming from? And the Spirit would say, you're renewing your mind. Then for my kids, I wrote down goals, or really desires. I desire to inspire my children to love God and his word by my example in formal times and in conversation, in the car and everywhere. I desire to model the attributes of my Heavenly Father in my everyday life. I desire for each of my kids to hunger and thirst for righteousness and know deep in their souls how loved, significant, and valuable they are in Christ, not because of anything or anyone else. And then I wrote some desires for ministry. 1997 or 8, God, I desire to put something in print that would help people the way other authors have helped me. And I never dreamed I'd write a book. God delights to fulfill the desires of your heart.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is called The Practice of Sacred Rhythms. If the pressures of life are taking their toll, what you'll learn in Sacred Rhythms provides the wise counsel you may be missing. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll discover how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that can release the floodgates of relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, you're going to introduce a very special guest in just a minute, but before you do that, you want to jump in here?
Just a quick but important thought. Living on the Edge depends on friends like you to provide the necessary funding we need to continue to broadcast right here in your area, but also to create small group resources for you and your church, and then to continue to innovate in order to reach out to kids and grandkids and the way that they get information. I mean, I'm talking about the future. And so what I want you to know is that we can't do that without you. Would you partner with us financially? And would you do it today? All the money goes into the ministry, but like never before, we need to help Christians live like Christians and reach the next generation. I want to thank you in advance for praying and then doing exactly what God shows you to do.
Well, thanks, Chip. You know, I really appreciate that you never lose sight of our younger brothers and sisters. You're always thinking about how to help them grasp the relevance of Jesus and His Word, which actually has a lot to do with what you and your guest will talk about in just a second. But before we get to that, let me just say to our listeners, if you'd like to partner with us so we can continue to reach people with God's truth, now would be a great time. To send a gift or even to become a monthly partner, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or head on over to livingontheedge.org and click on the donate button there on the homepage. Well, Chip, let's get to what you wanted to share about your teaching today. Would you introduce us to your guest?
As we close today's program, I want to let you know that I had the privilege of teaching this at Awakening Church. It's where my son Ryan is the lead pastor. And he continued on with this series. And as we got a chance to listen to that, Therese and I were talking early one morning. And she said, you know, honey, the Living on the Edge listeners, they really need to hear this because they got a lot of young professionals and people like in his church. And why don't you ask and see if Ryan would do it? And so I did. And so I want to introduce my son to you, Ryan Ingram, a pastor of Awakening Church, and we're going to team teach this together. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. What an honor.
You know, the Living on the Edge audience, they need to hear you teach these messages because, you know, as wise and wonderful as I might be in certain things, I watched you teach this to a room filled with 20 and 30-somethings who are on the edge of their seat, and I long for them to hear from you these sacred rhythms. Why did you think it was so important for you to teach on sacred rhythms for this stage of the life of the church?
Yeah, what a great question. And I think one of the things that was foundational in our home is you passed on these rhythms and mom passed on these rhythms, and they have formed not only my life, but formed Christ and me and our family. And what I find with this generation is not a lack of desiring to know God, but a deep desire, a huge heart to know and have an intimate relationship with God. But there's a lack of understanding of how to do that.
Wow.
And a disconnect between the rhythms of their life, what they do daily, and how that produces and forms Christ in them. And so that was the impetus for this series.
Well, I love the way you said it. These sacred rhythms don't earn us any favor before God. They're actually practices Jesus taught that make room for us to actually experience the living God in our life. I cannot wait for our audience to hear God's word through you in the days ahead.
Well, what a joy. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, an easy way to hear this message again would be to download the Chip Ingram app. You'll have free access to all of these Sacred Rhythms messages, Chip's interactive message notes, and much more. Not only that, but it couldn't be easier to email, order, or give us a call right from the app. To download the Chip Ingram app, just go to the App Store or Google Play today. We'll be with us again tomorrow when we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms. For Chip and the entire team here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.